Turning again to Proverbs and selected texts for our theme, our topic this morning. And I remind you that this is the eternally true, trustworthy, inerrant word of the living God. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. The highway of the upright turns aside from evil. Whoever guards his way preserves his life. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Father, I ask that you would grant us wisdom now from your word, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight and fruitful for your glory. O Lord, our rock and redeemer, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I mentioned, Fame and I did have a terrific week, 10 days at the fair. You know, it helps to have grandkids. You see it through different eyes and in a fresh way, their enjoyment of the rides as they race from one to another. It's amazing how many rides they can get in when they have a bracelet. And the enjoyment of the animals and seeing our young people here showing what they've been working on for a long time, and the things they learn from that. It's wonderful to see. And I just love this little town and how well it hosts such a great fair, and clean and safe and terrific. A little pricey, but, you know, it's once a year. So, enjoy. We did get our required once a year turkey leg, so we're good. We're talking about wisdom. We're talking about living wisely and living well. Something I want for myself and for every one of us and for our generations to come. And so I urge us to take this opportunity and really deep dive into the Proverbs, God's wisdom to us for living wisely and well in a foolish and fallen world. And this fallen world is all around us, and it is constantly trying to press us into its mold. And Proverbs is a call to wake up and to live with a conscious awareness of God's presence with us and all around us. Before the face of God, as we've been saying, Coram Deo. Burning eternity into our eyes. There's a thought to ponder. Let's burn eternity in our eyes. Will you take this call to heart to rise above our complacent, compromised sleepwalk through life, and let us see the glorious vision that Christ has for us in His Word. Proverbs is a call to lift our eyes from the mundane affairs of the earth and from the temporal and carnal distractions and attractions and temptations that fill our vision day to day. Now, Proverbs has strong and remarkably practical wisdom for resisting temptation and resisting temptation's voice, for resisting evil and sinful influences, and for choosing the path of wisdom. And so we will be focusing on that, what I thought would be 1 week, but it turns out it's going to be two, on the whole topic of temptation. Now, I'm sure you've heard the old joke, I can resist everything except temptation. And the problem, of course, is that there's more truth in that than we really want to admit. Every one of us faces multiple temptations every day. They're endless. They're countless. It was the very first bad thing that happened in the Garden of Eden. And ever since then, Satan has been tempting us, all of us, all the time. He even took on Jesus and shot his best shot, 3 shots actually. Now, temptation is so frequent that I don't think we're aware of it half the time. Somehow, it's just, it's a normal part of life. It just seems normal to us. Now, just to help us see the reality of this, I want to cast a net here, and I'm going to cast it as far and wide as I can. I think I can catch everybody. Listen to this list of temptations, and you just kind of keep track for yourself. There's a temptation to laziness, to sloth, to spending evenings or weekends binge-watching, or staying in bed just a little longer, cutting corners here or there, maybe skipping worship. The temptation to unkindness, to being grumpy in the morning. Temptation to selfishness, arguing over chores, or changing a diaper, or cleaning up a mess, or who does what, or who helps out with this or that, or cleaning up a mess. Oh, and wanting the last piece. Temptation to pride, to boast, to brag, to think too highly of ourselves, or to try to impress someone. The temptation to power, to wanting to control others, or throw our weight around. The temptation to impatience, losing our temper with our spouse, or kids, or co-workers, or drivers. The temptation to lust, to flirting with that good-looking woman, or taking a second look at that good-looking guy, or clicking on that clickbait online, or worse, temptation to sloppiness, dressing carelessly, immodestly, leaving our stuff all over, temptation to malice, refusing to speak to that person who has hurt you or you don't like, the temptation to gossip, repeating some story or recounting someone's past misfortune or sharing information that's not ours to share. The temptation to envy or jealousy, to want what someone else has. Temptation to greed, to holding tightly to our money and not being generous or sharing or just wanting more of it. Temptation to drunkenness, having one too many or sneaking another. The temptation to impurity, giving free rein to sensual thoughts or desires. Temptation to cruelty, taking our frustrations, our impatience out on family members or friends. Temptation to gluttony, overindulgence, taking that third helping or that fourth chocolate chip cookie. Guilty. The temptation to self-indulgence, justifying purchases you can't afford or that you don't need. Temptation to revenge, to firing off that nasty email or social media post or that snide comment or returning evil for evil, retaliating. Have I got everybody yet? Could go on and on and on. Temptation is just part of the air we breathe, part of this foolish, fallen, sinful world that we inhabit. And the issue is not if we will face temptations. We will, we do, we already have, even this morning. The issue is not the temptation itself, it's what we do with them. How do we respond to them? And here again, the world tells us how to do that. The world has a variety of ways. You know, it says follow your heart, or if it feels good, do it. The world says you only live once, so why not? The world says everyone does it. And you say to yourself, it's just the way that I am. It was how I was raised. I can't help it. I've tried to change, but I just can't, and it doesn't seem to stick. Or we say, I can handle it. It's not that bad, not that big a deal. I got this. The wise person learns to recognize the voice of temptation the moment it speaks and recognize the lie that it is speaking about where this will take us and what will be the fruit of it. And the wise person learns to stop before becoming entangled in the snares. So let's look at our text this morning. These are just a few of many. It's just amazing to me. Each week when I come to these, I have to cull through a huge list to get it down to something we can manage. But if you're reading a chapter a day on the day of the week that corresponds with the chapter, you'll find that almost all the topics that we cover have a proverb or two in every chapter. So we start with Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Now, when Satan fell, the first thing that he was a tempter. And he's been tempting everyone ever since. And he's really good at it. Now, sometimes he's rather blatant, but usually he's rather subtle, sneaky, stays under the radar. Now, understand this about Satan's tempting. He can only tempt us. He cannot force us to sin. He entices, he lies, he whispers, he makes it look good, he appeals to our self-interest or our selfishness or our pride. He sets the trap, he baits the hook, but he can't make us take it. You know the famous old line, right? Thanks to Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. He didn't. It's not true. The choice to sin is always a personal choice. We can't blame Satan. Eve tried that legal defense in the garden, and it didn't work. It didn't get her off the hook. If you commit a sin, the devil didn't make you do it. He may have tempted you to do it. He may have tried to influence you and set it up as a really great opportunity, but he didn't make you do it. You still had a choice in that moment, and God will hold us personally accountable for what we choose to do. We had this same conversation about anger. We can't blame someone else. It's always a choice, an internal decision. So when we fall into Satan's traps, we take his bait, we're caught off guard, we have only ourselves to blame. As James says in James 1:14, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. We're tempted by our own selfish desires, which are a product of our own sinful nature. Now, one of Satan's favorite tools among many is through others, through other people, through influencers, friends, coworkers, classmates, families, social media folks, the voices in the culture. And it's interesting to me that David, when he wrote the Psalms, that the first Psalm is about bad company and sinners, you know, walking and standing and sitting with sinners and scoffers. And it's interesting that David's son, Solomon, begins the first chapter of Proverbs with the same wisdom. Be especially aware of those who are not only content to sin, but they want to get others to join them in it. Bad company corrupts good character, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Bad company corrupts our thinking and our judgment. So Proverbs says, don't negotiate with temptation. Don't consent. Don't go there. It comes with an invitation. And consent is the first step to falling into temptation. So don't give in. Don't yield to those strong enticements. Be deaf to the invitations, no matter how persuasive they are. And to drive this home, Proverbs 4:14 and 15, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. You notice how seriously this is taking it? Not once, not twice, not three times. Six times warning is given. And whenever there's a piling up of words like this, it's good to stop and take notice. This is not just a warning. This is a serious, strong warning. You hear the verbs: don't enter, don't walk, don't to avoid, do not go, turn away, pass on, and don't just get away, get far, far away. And don't ever think you can get far enough away. The question should never be, how close can I get, but how far can I stay? Proverbs reminds us that temptation rarely begins with the act itself. There's a progression, a slippery slope. It starts with an invitation, and then there's the curiosity that is piqued, and then the approach, and then the joining in, the participation, which then begins to lead to a habit, which becomes a bondage and leads to destruction. Proverbs wants to interrupt the process before it even starts. And the easiest way to win the battle is not even to enter into it. So the wise person doesn't enter, doesn't go near, doesn't even go near the appearances of evil. When you avoid the appearances, you've taken care of the real thing. So avoid the edges of sin and immorality, you know, around the borders. Don't try to get close to the fire thinking you won't be burned. So it's easier to resist from the beginning than once you're in the sin. You don't know where that path is going to lead or how long it is or how hard it will be to stop and to back out. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. Treat it like an infectious disease. Treat it like Ebola. The biblical strategy here is not just resistance, it's avoidance. Please take this next comment to heart. Temptation is never innocent or trivial or a small thing. It will look that way to us, and that's Satan means for it to look that way to us, but it never is. Think about what's going on with every single temptation. It has one end, one purpose. Satan on a mission to ruin our soul and to turn us from God. Satan is out for our never-ending misery, to abuse us, to destroy us, slowly, subtly, secretly, silently, but his goal is death. Why do you think this is worded so strongly? And why is it repeated so often in the Proverbs? Temptation is strong in our lives, and the reason it is strong is because it's not just about us. Temptation is an assault by the demonic powers on the kingdom of the Messiah. Satan hates Jesus, and he hates those who bear his image, and anyone who loves him and seeks to be like him. So temptation is never a small thing. Heaven and hell are at war, and humanity is caught in the crossfire. So, Proverbs 14:16. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. So the true mark of wisdom is to fear what is truly fearful, what can destroy your soul and lead to your destruction. To fear sin and evil is wise. Fear evil more than you fear death. Like those three men who were about to be thrown into a fiery furnace. I mean, can you imagine that moment? But they feared sinning against God more than they feared being thrown into the fire. And so they were. Fear God and fear sinning against God. A holy fear fears every unholy thing. Now, this is not a paranoid person. This is a realistic person. One who understands human weakness and sin's power. He knows what he's capable of. He knows he's capable of falling. And his humility is his protection. The fool, on the other hand, never fears anything. He rushes in where angels fear to dread. His folly is to delight in sin, to be fearless in the face of evil and death and hell, and not to think about the future. It's utter stupidity to ignore God and His Word and the good advice and counsel of God's Word and of godly family and friends and neighbors and pastors. Are we listening? Now, you remember last week we talked about anger and how there's that moment. It's stirring, it's inside yet, that moment before it comes out. That moment, sometimes very short, that moment of decision, that moment of choice. Well, every temptation has that moment of decision, that moment of choice. Sometimes it's just a few seconds. I mean, everyone who has a computer or a smartphone knows those split-second choices between clicking that link or that site or that reel or that thread or wherever it takes us. And the wise person learns to recognize that voice of temptation that's stirring. And the wise person understands where the path leads and turns away before he becomes entangled. The wise person does not merely resist the temptation at the moment of decision. He recognizes it before it becomes sin, and he refuses its invitation, turns from that path, and takes seriously the danger. Proverbs 16, 17, and 18. The highway of the upright turns aside from evil. Whoever guards his life preserves his life. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And here's a good thing to do. If you could talk to the temptation, ask it, where does this lead? Where does this end up? Because temptation never wants you to know that. It only wants you to know the beginning, never the destination. It wants you to see the bait and never the hook. So the wise person turns away from even the appearance of evil, even the taste of it, and he looks not to the left or to the right, but he keeps his eyes fixed straight ahead. This is my strategy for walking through rows of kiosks at tourist places or fairs. You know, you stay in the middle. You keep moving. You don't look to the left or the right. You don't make eye contact. You avoid the temptation. Well, our first night at the fair, we didn't do that. We got enticed and drawn in by those fancy adjustable beds. We didn't do Psalm 1. Not only did we not walk and then stand and then sit, we actually laid down. And she just about got us. Now, adjustable beds are not evil. I think there's one in our future, but not at fair prices. But it's a the principle holds. Be alert to the enticement, to the lure. Take your soul more seriously. Guard your soul, guard your heart, guard your path. To preserve your soul is to preserve your life. And so, the warning, don't be proud. Don't be presumptuous, thinking, oh, I can handle this. Those who smugly think they're better than everyone else are in for a rude awakening. A person full of himself is not full of God. Remember Peter. I will never deny you. And what he learned, we all learn. God will not have us proud. He humbles the exalted. God takes it as his personal responsibility to deal with the proud and to bring down those who think themselves above reproof or above correction or discipline or accountability. Let us fear pride in ourselves. And you know, when God does humble us, receive it as kindness, as grace, as His goodness to us. It's a mercy. As 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, let everyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Think about this seriously, really. How strong, how wise, how good, how capable do you think you are? The strongest man in the Bible, literally the strongest man in the Bible, fell into temptation, and more than once. The greatest king in the Bible, a man after God's own heart, fell into temptation more than once. The wisest man in the Bible, who wrote these Proverbs, fell into temptation more than once. And the man closest to Jesus fell into temptation more than once. Do you think that you're wiser or stronger or better? Do you think you won't fall? Proverbs 22:3. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. And who is this prudent man? What makes someone prudent? What does the word even mean? The word prudent means more than just seeing danger or evil. He foresees it. He looks ahead. He uses good judgment and anticipates and avoids the danger. He's cautious. He's circumspect. He's careful. In a word, he's wise. He sees the danger of bad company. Noah foresaw the flood and made provision and preparation. Joseph foresaw the years of famine. Prudence is contrasted with the one who is simple, meaning he's foolish, he's naive, he's careless. Fools rush into trouble. They're unconcerned about sin or the long-term consequences, and they think nothing of disobeying God and going from smaller sins to greater sins to greater sins. So Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, here's the word for the prudent. Test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from evil. Do not be wise too late. Be wise early and often. Someone said, prove before you move. So don't be foolish. Don't continue in sin and disobedience when you have heard such a strong warning. When temptation comes, don't consent. When temptation invites, don't enter the path. When temptation entices, don't even go near. And when temptation appeals to your heart, guard your heart and your life. Next week we'll move even deeper into practical application and ways of avoiding temptation. We'll pause now, and will you pray with me, please? Jesus, we call on you in prayer. You are our great high priest, and you are the one who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, because you too were tempted as we are, and yet you resisted Satan and did not sin. And so it is with confidence in you and not in ourselves that we draw near to your throne of grace, that we might receive your mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Help us, we pray, in your name. Amen.